surrender to you. Lord, we surrender every area, Lord, of our life to you. And Lord, Lord, what an honor it is, Lord, to see your example of surrender. Lord, you gave it all, Lord, so that we could be raised to life with you. And Lord, I pray that in return, Lord, we can give all of our life, Lord, so we can have life in you. Lord, we welcome you. Lord, we welcome you, Holy Spirit, to come and move in our life, Lord, to move in a mighty way. And Lord, you are great. Lord, you are great and worthy of the worship, worthy of the honor, Jesus. And so, Lord, I pray that you can be lifted up here in this place today. Lord, we offer our hearts to you. Lord, we offer every area of our life to you. Lord, we want to see you move. Lord, we want to surrender our lives to you. And Lord, we thank you for the surrender, Lord, Lord, that you made on our behalf. So, Jesus, I pray today, Lord, that we can honor you, Lord, in our thoughts, in our hearts, Lord, and in the way that we treat one another, and Lord, in the way that we live for you. So, Jesus, we pray that you'll be here in this place today. Holy Spirit, go before us, move in our hearts, Lord, and ready us, Lord, for what you're about to say. We say these things in Jesus' name. The church said, amen. 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 Hey, thank you, worship team. Man, if you're wondering what's going on here, because I'm not Jason, and this isn't the normal worship team, this is the Chi Alpha Takeover. Yeah. Man, we're excited to be here with you guys today. My name is Nick, and I am on staff here with Chi Alpha. And if you don't know what Chi Alpha is, Chi Alpha stands for Christ's Ambassadors, and we get our name through 2 Corinthians 5:20, which says we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As go God, we're making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. And so Chi Alpha is the university outreach arm of the Assemblies of God. And so we're here at Carroll College, and we reach other college-age students in town. And so that's a little bit about what Chi Alpha is. We've been at Carroll College since 2001. I haven't been there since 2001, but Chi Alpha's been there. I've been at Carroll since 2007, which is kind of crazy to think about. And man, it's been a long, complicated history with Carroll College, and it's still being written right now. But we are excited for what God is doing there, and we are so blessed to be able to minister to college students in the Helena area. Chi Alpha, I'd say, if you were to try to pinpoint exactly like who we are and what we do, like how we do ministry, small groups is basically a small group of people getting together weekly, studying the Bible, living life together, sharing stories, sharing life, and also one-on-ones. And one-on-ones, if you're not familiar with those, is basically when two people get together and they meet each other to help sharpen one another and to grow in Christ together on a regular basis. And man, God moves powerfully through that. And we just see that example throughout Scripture, right? Jesus, he came, and he did not neglect the masses, right? He spoke to the masses, but he spent a majority of his time with 12 disciples, and even maybe more time with 3 disciples, right? And so that's a little bit about what Chi Alpha is about and how we try to do ministry. Those are the bread and butter of our ministry, the small groups, the one-on-ones, but of course we do retreats, we do missions trips, we do fellowship events, we do a large group worship service once a month, and oh, there's a lot of food also. I'm not exactly sure where it's at in the Bible, but I think that he says somewhere that if you cook it, they will come. yes, and maybe honestly, maybe that's why we go to Bridge now is for the last Sundays, but no, I'm kidding. But yeah, a lot of food in Chi Alpha, and so we've actually cooked a lot of stuff down here in the basement here. So just a little bit more about Helena Chi Alpha specifically is we have a ministry house right across the street from campus, which is a huge blessing because Chi Alpha is not allowed to do any ministry on campus. And so having proximity is a huge blessing. And the pastors that were here before us, man, they took a leap of faith and purchased a property, and it has blessed us immensely at Helena Chi Alpha. It's like the hub of our ministry. We meet there. We do a lot there. But it's not quite big enough for what we do. We have a lot of things going on and a lot of students that are involved. And so we can only do a limited amount of activities there. And it was 5 years ago that God placed a dream in our heart to have a place where Kaiapha could do everything that it wanted to. And man, that dream is almost coming to fruition today, as Kaiapha has been working for the last 5 years. first of all, gaining God's heart for what that looks like, because oftentimes what we have is very different than what the Father has. And it's taken, it's a long, windy road to get to where we're at right now. But we're very close to being able to purchase our own property to be able to do all the ministry things that Kaiapha needs. And so it's a 5-acre chunk out on Green Meadow Drive. And we're really excited about that and what God is going to do about that. And Haley's going to share a little bit more about what God is doing already through that property. And Helena Kaiapha is made up of students. but also there's staff that are a part of it as well. And it's a training ground for future ministry leaders. We have a saying in Kaiapha that says, today they learn, tomorrow they lead. And so the future leaders of this country tomorrow, the moms, the dads, the doctors, the politicians, the teachers, are all right now, they're learning right now. And so we want to help instill God's heart for what the future is there. And through that, we also have a staff team. And the staff team is made up of several different areas of staff. One is a volunteer staff, so someone who has a call to the marketplace and wants to serve there, but also wants to give back to Kaiapha. And we have Grady in the back on the slide, so thank you, Grady. Yep. And yeah, let's give Grady a round of applause. Yeah. we also have first years. First years are fully appointed missionaries that have raised the budget and want to do full-time missions with Kaiapha. And first years, man, we're so thankful for them. It's a huge transition to go from college to being a full-time minister, raising a budget, and then also getting up to speed on what it's like to do college ministry, as it's not like a regular 9-to-5 job. And so there can be a lot of learning curves with that. And a big emphasis for our first years is biblical literacy. So being able to read the Bible their first year and getting to know God's heart for the entire word. So that's a big part of it. Next up is our interns. And we have an internship program at Helena Kaiapha, which is a big deal. It takes a lot of work, a lot of energy. And we're so thankful for Tim, who's going to share a little bit more about that later. And so we have interns that are committing themselves to a career in either campus ministry or overseas missions work or pastoral leadership. And then we have associate staff. So those are people who are more seasoned, have been around for a little while, often are internship trained, and they're people who are going to be around for a little while and help carry the vision for Helena Kaiapha. And then there's directors, which is Haley and myself. We are the servant leaders of Helena Kaiapha. And we're so blessed to be a part of it. We've been the directors since 2012. 2012, I can't remember. I'm really bad with dates. 13, okay, thank you. 13. I graduated in 2012, that's what it was. Took 5 years, but anyway, so we have to be credentialed with the Assemblies of God, and we have to have completed an internship in order to be directors. And so that's a little bit of the breakdown of the Kaiapha structure. And I hope you have a better idea of how Kaiapha operates here. It's kind of the boring stuff. But when I was talking to Jason and he said, hey, will you come and share about Kaiapha to Bridge on Sunday? And I said, yeah, we'd love to share. Like, what do you want me to share? He said, I want our congregation to get a feel for what Kaiapha is. And so I was like, okay, well, I know that you normally get up and preach for 45 minutes. I can tell you that's not the feel that Kaiapha has, which is fine. We enjoy coming here on Sundays, I'll tell you that. But that's not exactly Kaiapha. And so I was like, man, what would it look like for you guys to get a feel of what Kaiapha is? Well, Kaiapha is made up of the people. Kaiapha is made up of the stories, right, that get to glorify who God is and testify to his goodness. And so I was like, what an amazing opportunity for us to get up and share some of the stories that God has written through Helena Kaiapha. And so you guys are going to get to hear, well, including my own story, 5 other stories of how God has moved in individuals' hearts in Kaiapha. And they're also going to share a little bit about different aspects of the ministry. And so today we're going to have Katie and Tim, Alyssa, Danny, Haley, and myself all share. So go ahead and buckle up. And also in the spirit of the Carroll students, it's finals week. So there will be a quiz at the end. So go ahead and take notes. You know what? In my zeal to share about Chi Alpha, I completely spaced the announcements. So I'm going to backtrack here. You know, yes. Sandy, I looked over at your face. I knew the Spirit was speaking. Yes. Okay. Well, I'm kind of new here, so I'm going to share a few announcements. And if I miss some details, maybe you guys can help fill this in. Okay. First, West of 50s Christmas celebration. I'm not 100% sure what West of 50s is, but I can guess that if you're older than 50, it's maybe a small group. Okay. And there's going to be a Christmas celebration that's going to happen December 14th at 5 o'clock. Bring a side dish or a dessert. Food. Six? It's five. Yeah. Okay. Double checking. It's five on here. Sandy set me straight. It's 5 o'clock. So that's going to be, did it say where? Downstairs. Okay. So downstairs. This could be an awesome opportunity for you to possibly tune up your dessert for the annual dessert auction, or maybe try some desserts that you might want to buy, because the annual dessert auction is going to happen Sunday, December 22nd. And what it is you're going to bring your old family recipe or the one that you just Googled, and you're going to make it, and then we're going to auction it off. And so I don't know if there's been some favorites throughout the years, but boy, that would be dangerous to my waistline to come to the dessert auction. I can tell you that. I'm a sucker for sweets. So bring that, bring a dessert, and be prepared to maybe to bid on some of those items, and all the proceeds go to the next announcement, the Giving Christmas Blessing, which is a benevolence fund for families that might not be able to afford gifts or to have a Christmas dinner or things like that. And so all that money is going to go towards maybe some families in need during the Christmas time. And let's see, the last thing, the culmination to all this is the Christmas Eve service on the 24th. So that is going to happen the 24th of December, so that's on a Tuesday, and it's going to be at 7 p.m., which I understand is a little bit later than it normally is. And so come join us, bring your friends, bring your family. It's oftentimes a season where people are thinking about Jesus, maybe more so than they have throughout the year. And so an invitation can go a long ways in that. So anyway, did I miss anything? The kids. Okay. The kids are free. If you want to go with the kids, now. Yeah. I wouldn't blame you. So anyway. All right. So back to some of the Chi Alpha stuff. I wanted to hand the mic over to the person who's going to share first. One of the biggest blessings to Helena Chi Alpha. This man is an amazing mind, he's an amazing friend, amazing husband, and he's a new dad. So just look past the dark circles under his eyes. But I'm so blessed to be able to bring up someone that gets to disciple me every week. Let's give it up for Tim Pays.
Thanks, Nick. Yeah, I am a new dad. My baby's somewhere, it's Winnie's arms. He's back there. Ezra is 4 months old. So he's sleeping through the night. No, I'm just kidding. He's not. He's not sleeping at all, but he loves his food. I think he takes after his dad. And my wife is out of town this weekend, so it was a boys' weekend, which was awesome. We partied all night last night, whether I liked it or not. But it was a good time. And I don't know if it was a lack of sleep or if it was just how amazing that worship was, but man, I was like tearing up. It was so good. Can we give a hand to the worship team? There was something about that. And Yeah, I get to share a little bit of my story and then a little bit about the things I get the pleasure of doing in Chi Alpha with you guys. And I only have a few minutes, but man, I feel like during the worship, God was taking the things he's done in my life and almost digging a little bit deeper in what he was doing. And so hopefully I can make it through without getting too emotional. But yeah, so I came to Carroll in 2013. It was actually Nick and Haley's first year directing. So I was a freshman. They were a freshman too. And we got to grow together. It was awesome. But Chi Alpha was incredible. And it was so different than what I experienced growing up. And I think just to share, to help you guys understand what God did in my life in Chi Alpha, I think it's just helpful to understand who I was coming into college. And so I came from a Christian home. And my parents, they loved Jesus. But we didn't really do anything in the church. They were burnt by the church early on. And because of that, they just kind of steered clear. And after a while, we just stopped going. So really, all throughout those formative years, I never went to church on Sunday. I was never part of a youth group growing up. I never went on a mission trip or did a small group Bible study with people. I was never surrounded in a community of people that knew Jesus and followed Jesus and never opened up his word or anything like that. So I feel like I knew of Jesus. I knew what it meant to be Christian in some sense, but there was so much of my faith because I was outside of community that was starved. And I think if you take anything away from what I say, it's really that the community is so important. There's a beauty of community. There's a power in community to help shape us, to help challenge us, to help grow us into the men and the women that God has called us to be. And so that's basically my story in a sense, is that community, it called me higher. And I tell you what, if you were to tell the freshman Tim where he would be today, doing ministry full-time, he would have never believed you. I'm telling you, it was so crazy. God has done such a huge shift in my life as far as the direction goes. I came into college for two reasons. The first one was to play football. The second one, far less important, but probably shouldn't be, was to get an education. And I did civil engineering, not because I enjoyed it, but because I thought, oh, wow, this could make a lot of money. And so that was basically my heart coming in. And just to share a little bit more about my spiritual mindset coming into college. Like I said, I grew up in the faith around Jesus, but outside of community. And I think because of that, I wasn't being formed in the way that God wanted me to, at least by Christians, right? That's the thing is we're all formed. We all have communities that form us. But if it's not a Christian community, it's another community, right? And I really felt like in those years, especially in high school, I was being formed by the world way more than I was being formed by Jesus. And one of the things I think I've always had inside me, even growing up, my mom will say this, is I've always been really sensitive to like moral, like right and wrong, good and evil. I wanted to do right. My older brother was not that way. He was like one of those guys that like you could spank him, he would just do the same thing. You could ground him, he would just do the same thing. You could take away anything he wanted and he'd still do the same thing. And my dad could like look at me one way and I would just start bawling and be like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And so we were those people, my brother and I. And yeah, I think that sense of justice, that sense of wanting to do good, that sense of wanting to do the right thing, I carried that throughout my time in high school, throughout my time in college. But what ended up happening as I got involved in the world more, I started making more choices for the world and for Jesus. I think I found these two things inside of me. One, I wanted to do good, but then on the other side, I had an inability to carry it out. And that like waged a war in my soul. And so what ended up happening is I just distanced myself from Jesus. Because after a while of that tension inside your heart where you're doing things you don't want to do, but you can't help but do it, you just move away from the one that I think is convicting you. And so that's who I was coming into college. I was someone that I think desperately wanted to do right, but had an inability to do so. And I came to college, checked out for my faith, wanted to play football, but God had other plans. He had other plans. School hadn't even started yet. I was on campus for 2 weeks. It was still 2 days. I was playing football at the time. And another player on the team by the name of Dustin Rinker, he would be my small group leader that year. He came up to me and he just invited me into his life. He asked me who I was, what I liked. He asked me if I was a Christian. I said yes, not fully knowing what that meant. He asked me if I wanted to come to a small group Bible study. I said yes, not knowing fully what that was. And that first small group Bible study was a huge pillar moment in my life where God showed me what the power and potential of Christian community could have in my life. And so I remember going to that, and there was there was this amazing curiosity because I looked around the room and there were people that talked about Jesus in ways that I never talked about Jesus. There are people that knew Jesus in ways that I didn't know him. There are people that believed that Jesus was more active in their life than I thought he ever could be. And I think all of that made me just want to dive into this idea of community, this idea of Christianity, and see what Jesus had to offer. So I jumped in. I say this a lot when it comes to my testimony, but Kyle was a series of firsts for me. If you heard my story, right, growing up, I didn't really do a lot when it comes to faith. And so Kyle was the first time I ever went to a small group Bible study, first time I ever read the Bible, really, first time I ever went on a mission trip or started going to church regularly, first time I started praying, first time I encountered God in a powerful way in worship, all these different ways. And it was within the midst of this Christian community that God just changed my life, and he righted some things in me that really needed righting. And I think it was really Hebrews 10, 24 through 25 that was put on display in the community of Chi Alpha. I'll read it real quick. It says this: "And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." I love this passage because it says, not giving up meeting together, as some of you are in the habit of doing, which was totally my story before Chi Alpha. I was the person that was just outside, you know, a lone sheep. And I keep thinking about this too. It's the last couple of weeks it's been on my mind, but I was really a lone sheep in high school. And I was thinking, you know, the only place where there's a lone sheep in the Bible is when it's a lost sheep, you know? I feel like that was me. And when I got brought into community, when I stopped neglecting the thing that I was in the habit of doing, neglecting community, I feel like God stirred me up to love. He stirred me up to good works. He encouraged me. He exhorted me through my brothers and sisters around me. It was a really powerful time. And there's three things I think I just love to share about how he changed me in Kyle, how he transformed me through the power of community. And I'll try to be brief. But the first one is this, that Christianity was not just a set of rules to obey, but it was a person to follow. And if you heard my story growing up, I was so adamant about right and wrong. I wanted to do what was right, but I had this inability to do so. And I think I just brought that into my Christianity, right? And I saw faith as a set of things I had to do. And obviously, if you guys have been Christian long, it's hard to do it, right? We need Jesus. And so I was trying to do it without him for a long time, and that just made me weary and broken down. And so when my eyes were open to the reality that God is not calling me just so he can use my hands, but he's calling me because he wants my heart. I think that was such a huge paradigm shift in my faith. And the second thing was this: God is both Lord and lover. That's something he showed me in the power of community. He's both Lord and lover. And I think before Chi Alpha, I experienced God as Lord when I was sinning and when I had that wayward part of me, because I still had that sense of righteousness. And I felt the Lord coming down on me, and I felt that sense of wrath, that sense of justice. I knew that he was holy. I knew that he was righteous. And I knew that he was deserving of my worship and my obedience, but I couldn't do it, right? And so I felt that shame and that guilt. And other times in my life, when I was doing good and checking all the boxes, or at least I was living up to my standard of righteousness, I could see God as maybe lover or maybe a friend, right? But not because, I think more because I thought I deserved it. And it wasn't surprising. And it was like, well, yeah, why would God not want to be my friend? Why would he not like me? I'm doing pretty good. You know, I'm treating people well. And so I had these two realities of God that would come out in different places, but they never existed simultaneously. I think in Christian community, the more I learned about God, the more I realized, like Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6, where he sees the Lord enthroned, and he falls to his knees, he bends low, and he says, "Woe is me, I'm undone." God is holy, and he is righteous, and he's worthy to be praised, and he is a just God. And yet, in that same place, he is a lover of my soul, and he is a friend to me. And I think when you believe both of those things simultaneously, it will change your life like it did mine. Because God is amazing, and he sits on the throne of the universe, and he's worthy of our praise and our glory and our obedience. He's all-powerful, all-knowing, and yet that same God, I mean, even the season, it's what we think about, right? That same God came down and took on our humanity. That same God, even though he's still worthy of praise, he's still in every way divine and beautiful and powerful. He emptied himself. He gave himself up for me. God is both Lord and lover. And the last thing, which I think this last part is what really, I think, led me to where I'm at today. That is that the love that God has for me, he has for others. I think somebody's going to be talking about mission trips here soon, but I went on a mission trip for the first time in Chi Alpha, and that's when I experienced that there's a lot of people out there in the world, and obviously in our community too, but everywhere. There are people that are lost, and they don't know Jesus. I think in Chi Alpha, I realized that the same love that God had for me, the same passion and compassion that drove him to the cross, he has that same passion and compassion for the people around me. And I knew he wanted me to do something about it. And so through a series of events, through a lot of prayer and discernment, I was led to give a year and then become associate staff to do an internship. And now here I am helping direct the internship. So that's a little bit of my story. I'd love to share more about the internship real quick as I close. But if you remember one thing, remember, community does call you higher. And don't be me in high school. Don't think you can do it alone. If you're alone, you're lost. So the internship program, it's amazing. It's been such a fun thing to do this year. We have some amazing interns, and like Nick said, it's like the training arm of Chi Alpha, right? And so people sense a call to ministry in Chi Alpha, and they want to give a year or go into campus ministry or go into missions or whatever else, but they need to be trained up, right? They need to be equipped, and that's what the internship program is all about. It's really as simple as that. It's about building and equipping missionaries to fulfill the purpose that God has for them, whether it's in campus ministry or beyond around the world, right? And there's three components. I'll just be real brief here. The first is a theological foundation, right? Because what we believe about God is the most important thing about us, right? That's what Tozer says. And so we need to know God well. And so we spend a lot of time building a really deep and wide and strong theological foundation, focus on a lot of biblical doctrine and understanding God rightly, understanding ourselves rightly, all those different things. On top of that, we spend a lot of time focusing on leadership skills and pastoral development, because as you guys probably know, it's not just what you say, but it's how you say it. And so we want to be able to say things well. We want to be able to lead with humility. We want to be able to navigate conflict appropriately, things like that. And then the last part of it is practical campus ministry skills. And so it's not just the things in the classroom that you learn, right? It's not just things that are taught, but the things that are caught are usually what are most impactful. And so all of our interns are not just studying the books, but they're hitting the campus and they're doing everything that a staff does in campus ministry. So they're leading our services, they're leading our worship team. Ethan was on the guitar, he's one of our interns. And so they are such a valuable asset to what we do. And so that's a little bit about the internship program. And I think Mackenzie's in the back with my child, but she's the first fruits of our internship program. She and another person were bold enough to brave our first year of the internship. And they stuck it out throughout the whole year, had, I'm sure, a very formative experience. I got the honor to watch her get credentialed this last May. And then, as many of you guys know, she's months away from being sent out to be a light, to be Christ's hands and feet among the Uzbeks. So that's a little bit of what I do. It's such an honor. God has done so many things in my life, and it's just such a blessing to be able to be for others what others have been for me. So speaking of interns, the next person I think that's going to come up and share their story is Kate. Kate's an intern with us this year, but she's well-seasoned. She's well-seasoned. I'm sure she teaches me more than I teach her, and so I'm excited for what she has to say.
Awesome. Hey, guys. So good to be here. Thanks for having us. This is fun. Yeah, we should do this more often, right? Cool. I'm a little sick, sorry, so you know if I cough, my bad. But like Tim said, my name's Katie. I'm one of the lucky few that gets to be an intern with Helena Chi Alpha. It's me and there's four others. And we just love, you know, getting coffees for Tim and doing his errands. No, I'm just kidding. We don't do that at all. No, Tim is definitely a servant leader, and he's just been, I mean, all the directors and leaders have been pouring a ton into us as interns. And I would say the biggest goal for me being intern was I really wanted to develop my theological and biblical understanding and foundation. And I also am hoping to get certified through the Assemblies of God by the end of this. So very excited for that. And I've also been with Helena Chi Alpha for about 5 years on staff. Like Tim, I was a freshman, Nick and Haley's freshman year of directing. And so we've been together for a while, and we've grown a lot together too, which has been really fun. So I wanted to share a little bit of my testimony with Chi Alpha and just my life with Jesus, right? It's all connected. When I think about myself going into my freshman year at Carroll, I don't think I ever could have imagined just the adventure, the wild adventure that the Lord would have me on. And looking back, I can see just how well Jesus knew me and how he knew every part of who I was. He knew every desire, every longing. He knew all of my brokenness. He knew the hurts that I had experienced and my passions too. And as I look back, I can see how he brought all those things together, you know, even my weaknesses, even my brokenness, and he's been able to transform it and use it for his glory. And so I'm so thankful. And, you know, I was raised in a Christian family. My parents taught me a lot about what it means to have faith in Jesus. But it did take me a while to figure out what that faith in Jesus looked like for me personally, which I think is a journey that we all need to go on, right? And so going into college, that was a big part of what I was searching, what I was trying to figure out. And a few things that you should probably know about me is growing up, I had this deep longing and deep desire for connection and for relationship and for community. And I also had this like thirst for adventure, this longing to be a part of something greater than myself. And I really believe that these are qualities that the Lord gave me, but unsubmitted to Christ, I found that they led me to a lot of places that the Lord did not want me to be going. So these desires, they led me to partying. They led me to hanging out with the wrong crowd, seeking attention and desire from the opposite sex, and also, yeah, just drinking, all those things. And I really believe that these behaviors was a way that I was searching for something that my soul was longing for, that I knew that I was made for something, but I couldn't quite figure out what that was. And I was searching. And, you know, as I continued to walk down this road, I became more and more broken, more and more empty. I could feel myself pulling farther and farther away from this relationship with God that I did have as a child. And yeah, I just knew that this was not where the Lord had me, right? I felt trapped, like as sin does, right? Sin traps you where you're at and takes you deeper into it than you ever wanted to go. And that's where I found myself. So thankfully, the Lord, in his mercy, sent me to Carroll College. And I really do believe that he sent me there because he knew the people that I'd meet. He knew what he had in store for me. So I came to Carroll College as a little freshman, fresh 18-year-old, and I almost immediately got plugged into the community of Chi Alpha. And something that I immediately experienced was friendship that I had never had before. These were friends that also wanted to grow in their relationship with God. They were friendships that were centered around Jesus. I'd never had this before. They were real. They were genuine. I was able to share things about my life I'd never shared before. And I was like, wow, this is what my soul's been longing for. I've been longing for friends like this. And on top of that, I was able to receive really intentional discipleship. So I was met with on a weekly basis. Fun fact, that was Haley. She met with me. And in those discipleship meetings, I felt like I finally was in meetings where I was being challenged with the truth of Scripture, and I was being encouraged in my walk with God, and I was being prayed for, and ultimately I felt very seen. And again, all these things were things that my soul was longing for, and I was finally finding that fulfillment. And on top of that, I was learning what it looks like to go on missions. I was learning the adventures that God had for us as being leaders and learning how to lead people to Jesus. And it was in Chi Alpha I started seeing that all these ways that God made me, it was how he made me, and it was good. And only when submitted to Christ were they able to be truly fulfilled. And so I began to let go of my old ways. And as I did, I found forgiveness, I found healing, and I found true fulfillment. And I also experienced the love of God like I never had before. And this changed me. It really did. Something about the love of God, you'll never be the same after you experience it. And my heart became so soft to God. And all I wanted was Him. And I really did in that season. I fell in love with Jesus, and I've never been the same since. So I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that He would reveal Himself to me in such a good and loving way. And not only that, but I was able to go on some pretty crazy adventures with Jesus. I led a small group with fellow peers for the majority of my college time, which was crazy. I never would have imagined myself doing that. I went on a lot of mission trips, some local, some overseas. I went on a disciple training school with YWAM during my college experience. And then I also, after I graduated, I moved to India for a season to become a missionary there. So a lot of amazing adventures, and it really fulfilled this longing in my heart. And so I'm so thankful for the community that I've found in Chi Alpha, and it's helped me discover who Jesus is and who I am. And another fun piece of the puzzle is I actually went to Carroll because I wanted to be a counselor and I wanted to help people. And I also wanted to use horses as part of the therapy because I love horses. I grew up with horses. Yes, we love horses here, okay? And we're going to hear more about the fact that we actually use horses for our ministry, which is so fun. So even that, like, the Lord took this desire to help people, right? I wanted to live, and then also my love for horses, and He brought all those things together, and now I get to be a minister, and I do a lot of counseling. It's a lot of what my job looks like, and then I also get to use horses for that ministry. I lead a horse small group with a bunch of ladies, and it's just so fun. God is so good, right? He's so good. So there's a scripture that kind of came to mind when I was thinking about this. It's Psalm 37, just 4 through 6. I'll read for you guys, or 3 through 6. It says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday." And I just feel like that sums it up well, that as I began to really delight in the Lord and who He is, He began to fulfill all these longings and desires in my heart, and I found who I really was as I found who He really is, right? And as we commit our way to Him, He aligns us with Himself, and it's so good. And there's no better place I'd rather be than in the will of God. Amen. There is no better place than in the center of His will. And so, you know, years down the road, I think I still am discovering all the things the Lord has in store for me. I feel like every year, every 6 months, really, it's like this new discovery. Like, what is God doing today? And my recent adventure, because I think walking with Jesus is always an adventure, is the internship. And I just want to say a few things about what my experience has been like. First off, it's just been awesome. We have just an amazing group of the five of us. We're all really good friends, so that makes it way more fun. And then on top of that, we have a lot of really, really good books that we get to read, and then our class discussions are always so fruitful. And I feel like, I genuinely feel like it is making me a better disciple maker. It's making me a better missionary. But more than that, I think it's just teaching me more about the Lord, and I'm getting closer to God. And that's the greatest fruit of all. And I think theology, for me, has always been a little bit of a weak spot. I've never really had formal training on it. It's always been very, like, hands-on, go do it, you know? So it's been really good for me to, like, actually read and soak in theology and, like, the history of the church and all these things. And the cool thing about this internship is that it's not just, like, you're in a classroom studying, but you're getting to live out this theology and everything you're studying in real time. It's theology applied and lived out. And so I actually had a moment where I got to really apply what I had just learned. There was a girl that I've been meeting with, and she's just been really asking, like, hey, what's the difference between Catholicism and Protestants and the beliefs? And, you know, she has all these curiosities and deep questions. And I think previous me would have been like, oh gosh, I am in over my head. Like, I knew the basics, but like after that, I'm like, I don't know. But it's been really cool because a lot of our studies goes through like the history of the church and the different beliefs that came through that. And so I was able to give her just some good feedback from what I had learned in class, and then also point her to some resources that I had been given. And I felt like that those conversations have been going really well. So I'm really thankful for the internship that has equipped me for moments like that and then many others. That's pretty much my story. Thanks for letting me share. And I'm going to hand it over to Alyssa. And Alyssa's amazing. She's going to share a little bit of her testimony too. And then she's also a first year. So she's going to share what that experience has been like as a first year.
Hi, everyone. it's great to be here. And yeah, I'm Alyssa. I'm a first year on staff with Chi Alpha. And I've been in Chi Alpha for 2 years before this. And it has been quite a journey getting here. And throughout my whole story, I can really see how God's hand has been in every aspect of my life. And it's so amazing. And I'm sure if you look hard enough, or even not hard, if you look, you can see God's hand in every aspect of your story. And for as long as I could remember, I wanted to know who Jesus was, how to pray, how to read the Bible, why I should, and why my mom wanted me to. Well, when I moved to Montana in 2020 for school and a church internship program, which I didn't come for Carol, actually. I came for a different school. And so I began to find what I was looking for. Through that church, it led me to begin to learn who Jesus was. And then the next year that I lived here, I went through a pretty hard summer. It seemed like thing after thing happened, which led me to basically drown in fear. Fears, lies, depression, insecurities, distrust, things that others have spoken over me and things I've spoken over myself. I didn't really think there was a way out. I remember I was on the phone with my mom just sobbing. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know if I should move home or stay. Well, I ended up staying, in case you probably guessed. and in that summer, I didn't know it, but God began working behind the scenes. I moved into a new apartment with a girl I didn't know, and this girl was a volunteer with Chi Alpha. I didn't know what Chi Alpha was. I'd never heard about it before. I went to a worship event a couple months before, not really knowing what I was going to find, but I met Mackenzie, who I ended up living with a couple months later. Had no idea. And through living with Mackenzie, she got me plugged into Chi Alpha. She started inviting me to events, and I think, if I remember right, I said no a lot. And then one night, me and Mackenzie went to Broadwater Hot Springs, and she invited a couple of her friends on staff with Chi Alpha. And I felt pretty awkward because I didn't know anyone. But one girl, Brielle, she just started talking to me. And we talked for about an hour and a half, just in that hot tub. And she was intentional with asking me questions about myself and my faith. And that was the most vulnerable I've been with anyone for a long time. It was so impactful for me, for Brielle, to just talk to me. It felt like, wow, someone wants to know me. Someone cares about me. And in that, I didn't know it at the time, but now I look back and I know God was using her to get to me. And it's sweet to see how God pursued me in that he didn't give up on me. He cared about me so much that he placed me in Brielle's path so that I could begin to know him and the hope and freedom that comes from knowing him. Brielle's pursuit reminds me of how God pursues us, how he will never stop pursuing us to come back to him. No matter how far we've run from God, he still sees us as his beloved child, longing to be reunited. And it makes me think of the prodigal son story in Luke 15, 11 through 32. If you guys want to turn there with me, I'll just read it. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, this younger son packed up all his belongings and moved to a distant land, and there he wasted all his money in wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, "At home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, 'Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant.' So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son.' But his father said to the servants, 'Quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet, and kill the calf we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast. For this son of mine was dead and has returned to life. He was lost, but now he's found.' So the party began. Meanwhile, the older son was in the fields working. When he returned home, he heard music and dancing in the house, and he asked one of the servants what was going on. 'Your brother is back,' he was told, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf. We are celebrating because of his safe return.' The older brother was angry and wouldn't go in. His father came out and begged him, but he replied, 'All these years I've slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me to do. And in all that time, you never gave me even one young goat for a feast with my friends. Yet when this son of yours comes back after squandering your money on prostitutes, you celebrate by killing the fattened calf.' His father said to him, 'Look, dear son, you have always stayed by me, and everything I have is yours. We have to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, but now he's found.'" And this story just reminded me about how God pursues us, how even when we're far from him, even when we've strayed and have made mistakes and feel like we can't come back to God, that God still wants us to come back. He has his arms open, ready to embrace us again. God welcomes us back with love when we've strayed from him. It's reassuring to remember when God has pursued me, and he'll never stop pursuing me, even when I'm far. It's a comfort to know that I can always come back to his embrace. And if you've strayed away from God, I want to encourage you that he isn't angry. He isn't going to push you away, but he's going to shower you with his love. He's going to be waiting with an embrace for you. And I think when I first started getting involved with Chi Alpha, after Brielle started discipling me, I found what I'd really been looking for. I found the pursuit. I wanted that pursuit from people. I wanted someone to walk with me in my faith, to answer the questions I had. And Brielle started doing that. I found friends who started doing that, who came alongside me and encouraged me and supported me. I found a loving community that helped build me back up again. But it was really God who was the foundation of all of that. If it wasn't for God, I would not be in Chi Alpha right now. I wouldn't be in Montana. And to see his pursuit for me, to see his hand and everything, is just, it's sweet, it's freeing. And after Brielle started discipling me, I began to get freedom from those lies, from that fear. I began to know my identity in Christ. I became more involved. I joined small groups. I began to make friends. I was desperate for more of Jesus, and that led me to take a discipleship class with Chi Alpha. And at the end of that year, I decided that I wanted to surrender my life to Christ, and I wanted to declare him as my Lord and Savior through baptism. And I did, and It lifted a load off of me. I felt free for the first time in years. I then joined the student leadership team. And this is for college students to grow in relationship with Christ, to know and trust his word, and to be trained up in making disciples. I was on the student leadership team for 2 years, leading small groups, meeting with girls one-on-one, really learning my desire, learning that passion for Christ, learning that I had that in me, and that I enjoyed it, that I wanted to share about Jesus, that I wanted to walk with others, just like Brielle had walked with me. My first year on the leadership team, I was discerning if I wanted to go on a mission trip to India with them. And while I was at work, I had a moment alone, and I was asking God, do you want me to go to India? Do you want me to be a missionary? And I heard a booming yes. And I immediately yelled out, no. But it's hard to disobey God when he tells you something. So I went to India. And then I didn't start paying attention to that second question until my second year on the team. It was a couple of hours before the 24-hour prayer and worship night last year, when I was talking to my friend Allison about what it was like to be called by God. And I was uncertain about saying yes to God for whatever God had for me. I just wasn't sure. I didn't know what that looked like. And then the last hour of the 24 hours, the worship team was playing, but then they stopped, and one of the leaders shared that he felt like someone here has a calling to missions and wants to say yes but hasn't. So I was looking around the sanctuary, wondering who that could be. And then my arm started to raise. And then someone yelled out, raise it higher. And so I raised my arm fully, and this burden fell off of me. I felt light, I felt free, and after so long of denying God in my life, after so long denying saying yes to him, I finally said yes to see what God had for me. And yeah, it was a weight off my shoulders. Everyone surrounded me in prayer, gave me hugs, and it was sweet to see how God pursued me in that moment. Which it's even sweeter because a couple hours earlier, I was talking to God and telling him how I felt like he didn't see me and he didn't care about me. So for him to give me a moment where he did see me, he did care about me, was special. It was so sweet. And after this, I began to think more about what saying yes to him looked like. When I was a student and then a leader in Chi Alpha, there was always a small part of my mind on Give a Year. I think deep down, I knew that I would end up doing Give a Year or first year with Chi Alpha, although I didn't want to commit and I didn't want to tell anyone at first. I pushed it off for months. And then a couple months after the 24-hour prayer and worship night, I began to think about what it would look like to do Give a Year with Chi Alpha. And Give a Year is for college students who have just graduated, and it's an opportunity to give a year back to Chi Alpha, give a year back to God, to grow in residing in him daily, to continually learn how to surrender my own plans to him, to grow in ministry and leadership abilities, to see what he may have for me during this year, and to grow in biblical literacy. As a first year on staff, I raised a budget for the first time ever, and that was daunting. Calling family and friends I haven't talked to in years, asking them to partner with me in what God wanted to do. It was scary, and it was hard, but it helped me learn how to rely on God, how to trust him to provide for me financially when I was just not sure that I could do it. And it taught me that although I was putting in work to raise a budget, it was God that raised my budget. And by him raising my budget fully helped confirm that God does want me here. And then managing that budget is a whole other thing. Life in ministry is new for first years. It's different, and it takes a lot of getting used to. I used to work a 9-to-5 job where my schedule was very strict, and now my schedule is as flexible as a college student's, because it has to be. But that also means I have to be intentional about it when to get things done and when to rest. Managing my schedule is hard because every day is different and it requires, like, no one's going to tell us we have to get things done when. We need to be self-starters, and that's something I've been learning this semester, to start projects myself, to start things myself, and to really make the most out of my day. Something else we've been learning as first years is how to rest. Learning to rest well has been something I think everyone has to learn at some point. When to rest, how to rest, what gives us rest versus what drains us, and being intentional about the times we have to rest. And I'm still learning that right now. We're getting used to a very intentional lifestyle with the students we are serving, our supporters, and each other, really showing pouring out love to everyone around us. One of my friends told me recently that missional living life as a missionary, the heart of it is really caring about others. And I think that's so true. It's really just pouring out the love, pouring out the care that God shows us. We're learning how to balance a life in ministry and a life outside of ministry. And there's a lot of surrendering to the Lord, learning over and over again how to rely on the Lord, how to trust in Him, and how to come back to Him, knowing that He is never tired of hearing from us. And when we are weak, we can come to His strength, knowing that He is the strength. And it's hard to have consistent devotional times when each day is different that we're getting used to. But remembering how to stay connected to the vine, staying connected to Jesus so that we are overflowing, so that we can pour out, is so important to learn. And there's so many things that first year ministry entails, and a lot of what I've been dealing with is a lot of internal stuff, a lot of things that are getting dug out of me that are ugly, and so that I can become more like Jesus every day. And there's four of us on first year staff? Yeah. Okay. And so I get to do first year staff with some of my closest friends, and that is a huge blessing because we get to support each other and encourage each other. We are reading the Bible together. We are going through it all together, and that's a blessing. We get to share in Jesus together. We get to share the wins together. Over the past couple months, even when I began Give a Year, I wasn't sure if I was really cut out for it. I didn't know if I had the heart for college students. I didn't know if I could minister. I didn't know if I had that passion in me. But I think just having that passion for Christ is really what it's all about. I get to share Jesus with the students I'm pouring into, and it's fulfilling. I can go into a one-on-one or small group being so tired, but then I can get to talk about Jesus, dig into the Word, and be completely woken up and be excited about who He is. It's cool getting to see someone begin to learn who Jesus is and be in awe of Him. I'm meeting with this girl right now who, before she came to college, she didn't know anything of the Bible. She didn't know anything of Jesus, and she was curious. She just wanted to know a little more. And she just wanted to get into the Word. And so I've been going through the Bible with her, and her first love for Jesus is growing, and it's amazing to see. And it just brings me back to when my first love with Jesus grew, when Brielle discipled me, when she pursued me. And so getting to pursue others, getting to share who Jesus is the most fulfilling thing. Getting to serve the Lord and bring Him glory in that, there's nothing really better than this. In Chi Alpha, being a first year, I found community, I found friends, I found love, intentional, unconditional love and support. And I found people who could help me in what God wants to do in my life, to hold me accountable, to be honest with me even when it hurts, to just love me. Being a first year, it comes with a lot, but I really wouldn't trade it for anything. It's such an amazing experience, and I'm thankful for all the other staff and students who are in this with me. And one of them is my good friend Danny, who is about to come up and share her story and share about missions.
Hi, as you guys know, hopefully, that my name is Danny. So I've been serving on staff for Chi Alpha for about a year now, all because the Lord radically changed my heart as a student. So I was in Chi Alpha for all 4 years at Carroll, and I joined staff after I graduated to give back to the community that gave so much to me. So let me give you a glimpse into how Chi Alpha changed my life as a student and how it continues to change lives. So I became a Christian just a few months before college. I didn't have any, I kind of knew about Jesus, but not well. but I came into college in 2019, and I just wanted to find Christian community and friends. So I was on the lookout for a group. And I knew there was a Christian group at Carroll, but I didn't have any information about it. But within the first month of school, I found Chi Alpha at the club fair and gave them my information. And then the following week, my best friend Felice was meeting up with a lady on staff named Sierra just to learn more about the group. And so Felice invited me to come along and get to know more about Chi Alpha. And so Sierra told us about the different small groups, and she got me connected with this senior named Tasha. I got connected with her, and we just started going to her small group. And there at that small group, I got to meet the most amazing women who taught me so much about Jesus, and some even became my closest friends, like our very own Mackenzie John. And so I also met with Tasha weekly for discipleship. She walked me through what it looks like to follow Jesus, how to read the Bible, how to connect and talk with Jesus, what my identity in Christ was, finding freedom from habitual sins, and letting the Bible become my ultimate authority. I was able to walk through all these things because my friends pointed me to Jesus and encouraged me to wrestle with Scripture. We always read the Bible together, and the insights they shared often challenged me. And when I was first reading through 1 Corinthians, I was angry with it because I didn't agree and I didn't understand why certain things were sinful. I didn't understand God's heart in it. I thought he was laying down the law to punish me and keep me trapped. And after being in small group for a year and hearing about God's goodness, I reread it and realized that God said these things not to trap us, but to protect us. Psalm 16:6 says, "The lions have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance." I learned that his ways are perfect, that Scripture is perfect and true. Psalm 19:7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." The Lord is good, therefore all his words are good. And I needed to be in small group to hear and understand the word with others to point me to God's heart. And finally, I submitted to God's authority, and I learned to say, what God says goes. And so with that, where he goes, I go. And when you say that, he often leads you to places that make you put your full trust in him and let go of your understanding. And for me, that was going on mission trips to places like Utah and Central Asia. And those trips made me let go of my ways and fully trust the Lord to guide me. And it pushed me out onto the water and trust that Jesus would hold me where my feet couldn't. And so one of our values in Chi Alpha is going on mission trips. We place a heavy emphasis on missions as we believe that God has called all of us to serve and share the gospel no matter where we are. So we give our students opportunities to learn all of this on mission trips each year by taking about 4 teams on stateside trips during Carroll's spring break and about 2 to 3 overseas trips in May after school gets out. And each trip has opportunities to serve and to evangelize. And for our overseas trips, we often partner with Live Dead, a missions organization that you all know well, that seeks to plant churches among the unreached people groups. And we go to learn how to share the gospel in different cultures, learn what life is like as a missionary, and how we can pray for those countries. And through these trips, students learn how to share about Jesus and let their hearts be broken for the lost and unreached and take steps of faith. For some, God may use the trips to call them to serve in countries where people don't know the name of Jesus, like a few missionaries you guys know from this church. And we have seen these trips change the lives of the students. One student was deeply impacted on a spring break trip last year. We sent a team to the national parks in Utah to evangelize to people in the parks. Before this trip, this student was nervous about stepping out in evangelism and talking to strangers about Jesus. And during that trip, we saw him step out in faith and boldly talk to people about Jesus. And by the end, he was so passionate about evangelism that he continued to plant seeds after the trip, and he continues to pray for people he meets on the streets. And so I want to challenge you all to take a step of faith this week. If God asked you to share with a stranger, don't talk yourself out of it due to fear, but trust that God will give you the words to say. Take time to ponder how God might be asking you to step out in faith. Ask him for courage, then do it. And God uses different ways to get people to step into faith. For some, it's learning how to evangelize. For some, it's being vulnerable in small groups. And for others, it could be using horses to connect with God and others. Now we get to hear Haley share her story with Chi Alpha and just how she likes to use horses to minister to students.
Okay, so I have lots of stories for you all, but we're running out of time, so I can't share them. But what I do want to share with you all is just a heartfelt thank you. We love being here at Bridge. It's been such a gift to us and our family and our staff team. We were getting a little, in our last office, we were getting a little tight. Like, we couldn't move hardly at all, and we're all just like squished together on our computers working things out. But now we have room, and the room you guys gave us, we're just really blessed by you. And I just actually feel like you really want to hear some horse stories. Do you guys want to? Okay. So here's what I'm going to do. If you have to go, don't feel bad about it. There's freedom here. There's, you know, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. If you need to go, don't feel bad. I can fill you in later. I do want to share just a couple stories of the horses, okay? So we do use horses in ministry, and it's something God's been doing in me and others. Katie mentioned she's leading a small group. So awesome. Since 2011, though, is when God gave us our first horse. And we've grown from a herd of one to a herd of four, and still possibly increasing. The Lord always is providing. But I have just a couple pictures up here of some moments with the horses, and I just want to share a couple stories. One, I'll never forget, I had a small group of volleyball players come out, and Taylor is working with this horse, and she's pursuing him and asking him to come and be with her, and she had to push him off of his food. And so he was kind of upset about it, but she ends up standing right at his food, and he's standing like 15 yards away from her, and he has his ears and his eyes on her, but just standing there, just staring. And Taylor is so patient, and she waits there for about 15 minutes, and he's just staring right where he really wants to be. And we just watch, and we're just waiting and watching and reflecting, and all of a sudden he comes in, and we're debriefing in our small group about her experience and what had happened there. And we said, wow, Taylor, like, what was that about? He usually is just like right comes right up. And she said, well, the Lord, at first I was super frustrated, like super frustrated. And then the Lord spoke to me, and he said, Taylor, just like this horse, you're giving me your attention, but you're not giving me your feet. And as soon as she realized that and received it from him, he just comes right up. So this is like, this happens all the time with the horses. It's just like this, wow, this like these light bulbs go off and he just speaks when we're just waiting, working with the horses. And another time I got to work with a group that was getting ready to go on a mission trip. And they were a pretty big group. And one of the activities we do is we create a big blob. And this group stays together and they're trying to connect with a horse. And the horses are like, what is that coming at me? And they're running around, freaking out. And very quickly, we see interpersonal issues happening within the group. So it's very quickly realized, like, who's outspoken, who's going to be quiet, who's going to have an idea and not say it, and who's going to say their idea every time. You know, just like we see those interpersonal relationships happening that we can begin to work on. And then also this group specifically realized their need to humble themselves and to be quiet and to find a shared purpose and focus. And it was so sweet because by the end of it, I think there's a picture of, yep. By the end of it, they were all just like getting down. And they did end up connecting with a horse, but they really had to be quiet and come together. So it built a lot of unity. The final story I want to share has to do with a gal I took out to the ranch once. And I just felt the Lord say, just put her in the round pen with your horse and give her a few instructions. And then you can like just let her be. I was like, okay, that's interesting. So I gave her some instructions and went and did some chores. And I'm kind of watching from a distance, and she's standing there petting and petting and petting, and then all of a sudden starts to put some pressure on the horse to, you know, get her to move around. And by the end of it, I come back and she's walking around and the horse is following her. Like, just anywhere she goes, horse is mirroring her. And it's, like, super sweet, and they're totally bonded. And I asked her, you know, what's your experience been like in this round pen? She's like, well, I was hanging out with Red and realized that we could sit here and I could pet her and we could do this all day and it's fine. But then, like, we're not really ever going to go anywhere. We're not really going to get any deeper, really, it felt like. It's like, uh-huh. Tell me more. And she's like, so then I put some pressure on her to move. At first, I didn't really like it because I didn't feel comfortable putting pressure on her. But then once I put some pressure on her, I realized that's how we're going to get closer. And I was like, whoa, that's cool. And then and that's how you ended up like being so like in tune with one another. She's like, yeah. And she's like, well, and then all that to be said, I think God is calling me to leadership. Like, wow, tell me more. And so she just, it just hit her. Like, unless I have more pressure put on me, I'm really not going to come close, any closer to the Lord. And this, my friends, is Mackenzie John's story. And so this was the moment God called her into student leadership. And now she's headed to Central Asia in weeks. So that's actually, we're going to pray with her. Is she still in here? Yeah, she is. Yeah, there it is. There's that moment right there. I cry every time I see those photos. Anyway, so Nick's going to lead us in some time with praying over Max. So,
awesome. Well, thank you guys for your time today. I hope today that you were encouraged by some of the stories that God is moving in. Maybe yourself, just understanding the importance of community and how important that can really be. And mission. Man, we're all on mission. We like to say here in Helena Kai Alpha that we're all missionaries. God is just sending us to different places, right? And then also discipleship, the power of discipleship, spending intentional time, helping to sharpen one another. And so I hope that those three things kind of rose to the top for you guys today. Sorry that we ran short on time. We had some more stories to share, but God is just doing so much that it can't be contained in one service. So not sure if we'll be welcomed back or not, but maybe later. But we are so thankful for your guys' open arms and hospitality of welcoming Chi Alpha in here to your guys' community, to your guys' space. And if we stain the carpet or leave stuff out, I'm so sorry. We really are trying. We want to be good guests here, and we're so thankful for your guys' hospitality. And you guys probably heard throughout a lot of the stories here that there's some common threads. We have community, mission, discipleship, but you probably sense too that Mackenzie was a very common thread in almost all of the stories, which is kind of cool because we get to honor her today and we get to celebrate what God has called her to and what God has called her from. And we're going to pray for her because this is her last Sunday before it, at Bridge before we're going to send her out. And so it's kind of cool that Helena Kyalfa and Bridge Assembly gets to send her out in a special way. And so, Mackenzie, why don't you come on down? And we can have you share just a little bit, just in case there's some people here that might not know what you're doing. But if you know Mackenzie and you want to come up and pray for her, we're going to come up and lay hands on her and send her out. So you want to share just a little bit, Mackenzie?
Hello. What do you want me to share? Well, if you don't know, I'm getting ready to move overseas to Central Asia to do missions there. That mission trip that Danny mentioned, whoever she is, I was on that trip with her, and God just really showed me, actually using horses, funny enough, which if you want to hear more about that story, I'd love to share it later, but showed me his deep love for the people in Central Asia who don't know him. And so through a lot of things, he asked me, Mackenzie, will you go? So it took a little bit of time for that to happen, a lot of growing in the Lord and a lot of growing in leadership, etc., which I got to do with these folks here. But now I'm getting ready to go. So, yeah.
Thanks for sharing. Well, Sandy wanted to make a presentation. So, Sandy, do you want to come on up? And then also, if you want to lay your hands on Mackenzie and pray over her, now would be a great time to come on up. And we're going to close out the service by celebrating what God has done through Mackenzie and praying over her. So here's Sandy.
Help Mackenzie. So we made pies. My husband helped. And we raised $885. And someone approached me today and said they had a personal offering that they'll get. That may help you with gas to get home. But anyway, they have to send this to headquarters, so I couldn't actually give you a check. But we love you.
All right. Thanks so much, Sandy. Yeah, what a tasty fundraiser. We're going to have Jordy and Charlie pray for us.
Lord Jesus, we're humbled to have even had Mackenzie for the time we've had her. Jesus, your heart in her is so beautiful. It's such a light. It's so pure. And having her in some small groups and different things, I've learned so many things from this sweet girl. Yes. And Father, I pray everything over her that you have for her. Every single thing, that every moment is so filled with your Holy Spirit. Everyone she talks to, that she will be dripping with the anointing, yes. Lord. That she herself will learn so much, and that just everybody that you put in her path, Lord, will become disciples like she is. Father, we pray protection for her. No harm, injury, or accident, Lord, in your name. And just the flight there, Lord, that her finances will stay strong, that she will, that no one will fall off, that she'll get her. And Lord, just let her know how much our heart goes right with her, that we're with her. Bless her feet, Lord, her ears and her eyes. We love her, Jesus, but we know you love her more. In Jesus' name.
Father God, we just give you thanks and praise for this young woman. The joy that just flows from her has blessed us so much, and she has been such a gift. Mackenzie, I just pray God's anointing and blessing on you. I pray success upon you. I pray for a team that will rise up and walk with you, and that you guys will be amazing, touching hearts and changing lives, bringing healing, and truly carrying the gospel and the miracles that go with it. Father, let your anointing be upon her. Increase the Father heart of God within her and with those that minister with her. I pray blessing on you. I pray encouragement upon you. And I pray just more of God on you and in you and through you. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Hey, thank you so much, Bridge Assembly, for having us today. Go and make disciples.